In today's episode, we are giving y'all some advice. We discuss falling for your supervisor, how to deal with friends that tease you, how to make Grindr hookups less awkward, and finding stability when your parents get divorced. Stick around, subscribe on iTunes, and live tweet as you listen with hashtag psychobabble. Hey everyone, my name is Tyler Oakley, and you are listening to Psychobabble, an unfiltered half hour of gossip sessions, pop culture scrutiny, and stories we have never told in videos. It's not just crazy talk, it's Psychobabble.
Tyler.
Oh, are we starting?
Yeah.
Hello!
Are you sharding?
No, but are you comparting?
Okay, that took way too long.
Are you
thwarting?
Thwarting? What's thwarting?
I'm going to walk over there and thwart you in the back of the head.
Oh! No, I'm not doing that.
Well, great.
No,
it's a new year.
Happy
new
year!
New you.
What's new?
New year, new me.
Oh my god, 2016. New year, new me.
I know.
New year.
I will say I usually like the odd years a little bit better, so I'm a little nervous for 2016.
Speaking of Snervous, we should give some love to our sponsor for this week's episode.
Oh my god.
That's Snervous, our new documentary available on iTunes. If you want to pick it up, you can. Just Google Snervous. It's available on Vimeo. It's available on iTunes. It's a year in the life following the tour and everything that happened behind the scenes as a YouTuber. Go give it some love. Thanks, Snervous, for being our sponsor.
My brother got it on Google Play.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
He asked if
hey,
it mattered.
Hey, you know who got it on Google Play? Remember Brendan, our friend who I used to live with in Ann Arbor?
Yeah.
He, of course, because he works at Google.
Was it free?
He sent me a receipt, and I was like, of course you got it on Google Play.
Mm.
What kind of Google Kool-Aid drinking? You know. Anyway.
Well, since we're back and it's a new year, I figure we should do a little staple in the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Which is an advice episode.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. I was like, where are you going with this?
You weren't sure about it?
You know those little staplers? That's
yeah.
what I want to talk
I
about.
I love that.
Who needs a huge stapler?
When I was going to college, I was like, I must have this little stapler. I got it in teal.
How did they seal staples together in that long, you know, those long chains of staples?
Probably rubber cement.
You think?
Yeah,
actually?
Yeah.
Why would you think that?
It's just like a little dab of a glue.
A dab will do, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you want to get right into this?
Yeah.
We haven't done one of these in a little over a month, and okay. We had lots of questions. So
you know what? I like advice episodes. It feels like a good chance for us to talk directly with you guys. If you want advice on something, you can submit your questions or the things that you want advice on to the email address.
psychobabblequestions@gmail.com. You always ask me, and then I always have to double check.
That's why I always kind of like stretch that segment out.
Thank you.
But it's a great way for you to submit like pretty personal things that maybe are topics that people might be going through, but they're I guess specific to you, not just general questions, but questions specific to you, so they can kind of be a little bit more long winded. So, what's our first question that somebody wants advice on?
First question is from H, calling this person H. H says, so I've come to the conclusion that I've fallen for one of my superiors at work.
Ooh.
I was thinking about him before I fell asleep and I realized it. I'm so mad at myself for this. We text a lot and he kind of flirts with me sometimes, but also I feel like he treats me a lot like I'm his little sister. I know literally nothing could ever happen because he's my supervisor, but he's also 24 and I'm only 16, so
whoa.
I know I need to move on. I was just wondering if you could give me any advice to get over him because I can't quite distance myself from him since we work together and I see him during my shifts. Please help.
Well, I think there's a couple layers to why this should not be a thing that happens, okay? Obviously, you know, you feel it in your gut that maybe you shouldn't pursue this. But when there's power dynamics in play, and that includes age, that includes the work thing that's going on between you and him, where it's like, you know, somebody is superior or in charge of you in some capacity in like the work setting. That's going to add layers to why it can be dysfunctional to pursue. The first and foremost, the age thing is, I think, scary for me to hear because you're still figuring things out.
Yeah.
Whether you know it or not, you're still figuring a lot of things out. And if somebody is 8 years older than you, while you 8 years older in the scheme of, okay, 50 and 58 is very different from 8 years older from when you're 16 and 24.
Exactly.
Very different moments in your life. I think that's scary.
Very different maturity levels.
Different maturity levels.
Just different life experiences at that point in your life.
Legally, I don't know if it's legal. I don't think you should, right? I don't know what's there's. I think
right,
it's by
they
state
didn't
laws.
Say what state, but I mean, yeah, there could be a legal thing.
And the question is not should I pursue it or not. I think they know that they don't want to pursue it, but
right.
How do they deal with that
getting
crush?
Over them? I mean, I think that's tough. I mean, because you're working with the person and you're seeing them like every day and every shift. I mean, honestly, it's so tough. I think anytime I give anybody advice on getting over someone is you can't really like force it. It just takes time. And I know that's a really tough thing to hear sometimes because you just wish there was like a button you could push to be over someone.
Right.
But
you can't really help physical attraction. It's like,
honestly,
that's
I just
how your brain
think
works.
It takes time. But instead of texting with him or flirting with him, I mean, you can definitely start to distance yourself there and just maybe kind of find some other friends or some other activities to kind of occupy your time so you're not just sitting at home thinking about the person if you've got the means
to do
that.
If it's like so hard where it's the biggest distraction every time you're at work or whatever.
Yeah.
I would find a new job. I don't know how easy that is, but it's like if it's definitely something that's like giving you trouble while you're at work, that is worth pursuing something else.
Yeah.
Because
or seeing
like,
if you can change shifts. I'm not sure if it's the only shift you can work because of school or whatever, but I mean, there's definitely some options you can look into.
That sucks. I'm sorry.
I wish you luck, and I know how it feels to want to get over somebody, so let time heal your heart, H. Don't you think?
I think. What's the next piece of advice somebody would like?
This next.
And again, while you're listening to our advice, please do know we are not the end-all givers of advice. If you feel like it's not helpful to you or if you're going through something similar and you're like, I don't know, that's good advice, probably isn't. So
yeah.
Ask somebody in your life and maybe they can help you out and, I don't know.
Your
we don't know everything.
Your friends know you better than we do and we're not therapists
yeah,
or
we're
counselors
not therapists.
By
we're not trying to be.
Any
we're just
means.
Trying to give some advice as your friends.
Just being a good old friend. The next question comes from S.
Yeah.
And S says, I know you guys have get a lot of questions, but I have a friend who is always teasing me and making fun of what I wear, things like that. She's been my friend for quite some time, and I don't want to lose her because I don't have many friends because of my social anxiety. I want to tell her to stop, but I don't know how without offending her or making her not want to be friends with me anymore. I'm scared that if I say something wrong, she'll leave. What should I do? Any advice you have would be great. From S.
So basically, and this could be anything that a friend might be teasing you about. It doesn't have to be just what you wear or whatever. But I think the general advice is, if you value that friendship, which it sounds like you do because you're asking for advice about
yeah.
it, it is worth saying something immediately. Because the more they tease and the more you try to ignore it or you let it go on, the more you're going to resent it and
yeah.
the more you're going it, to...
It's just going to
build and build. Yeah.
Weird. We went build and build together.
Build and build.
I completely agree. I mean, this actually, I had a friend like this in college who I was close with, and her and I would joke a lot, and I'm often very sarcastic in my friendships, and she had kind of told me I had like brought up something in front of another group of friends and kind of was just joking about it about her, and she told me afterward that it actually kind of really hurt her, and I was surprised because I thought we were all just joking and I was being sarcastic and I didn't really mean anything by it negatively against her, but it was really eye-opening for her to tell me, and I was like, I wish you would have...
Wasn't that so helpful?
Right.
Yeah.
My reaction was, I wish you would have said something sooner. I felt awful for doing it, and I mean, we're still friends now, but I was happy she finally said something. So, I mean, your friend might just think that they're just teasing you and they don't mean anything more by it.
And it might be, like, harmless to them.
And I definitely feel like if it's an important friendship, you should say something because you deserve to not feel teased or belittled by a friend.
A friend is somebody who respects how you feel.
Right.
So when you do bring it up, if they downplay it or say, oh, you know, I'm kidding, just like deal with it or whatever, that is a red flag
right.
and a half.
Right.
If they don't respect
how you... I mean, they might say I was kidding.
Yeah, which is fine. But if they tell you, oh, don't be bothered by that.
Right, right.
If they tell you that your emotions or your feelings are not valid, that is a red flag.
Right. My friend, I said to her, oh my gosh, I was just kidding. I didn't know this hurt your feelings. I will absolutely stop. Thank you for telling me. I mean, it's a very different reaction than, oh, I mean nothing by it. Quit letting it bother you.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's nice to hear that you value that friendship and you're worried about losing it. But yeah, I mean, you deserve respect and you deserve your friends to treat you the way that you want to be treated. So if they're kind of not going to hear how you feel, then I mean, you might need to take a bigger look at that friendship.
Right. There are, what, 7 billion people? You don't deserve somebody who won't make you feel comfortable and happy around them. If they're your friend, they'll get it and they'll fix it. 100%.
I agree. Next question. Are you ready?
I am ready.
This one's a two-part question. It's from N. We will say N. N wants to know, so what do you say when a Grindr date comes over? Like, how do you make it less awkward?
Oh, my God. Well, it sounds like it's a question for you, Corey.
Why? I haven't had a Grindr.
Some type of Grindr hoe.
I was like, I haven't had a Grindr date in years.
Some type of Grindr, H-A-U-X. Well, first of all,
I will say this is probably applicable to more than just
a Grindr date.
I think
when you meet somebody,
in general.
Whether it's a first date or whether it's somebody that you might meet on maybe any app, because not just gay people.
Everyone's dating on apps.
Everybody's got
days.
Like Tinder.
My brother
Grindr,
is all up on Tinder.
J-Date, whatever. It can
Christian
be,
mingle.
It's weird.
Farmers only.
Yes, whatever. If it's farmers only, you definitely have lots of context to bring up.
Then they're probably H-A-U-X.
H-A-U-X. They have something about how. No. So if it's awkward, duh. That's fine.
First dates are always awkward.
But I think they're asking if somebody's coming over to like...
No, because they have a follow-up question to this
okay.
that kind of makes me think they're not talking about coming over for a...
Okay. Well,
you're going to get the follow-up question too.
First of all, if it's a Grindr hookup and they're coming over to... And it's like, what do you discuss? I kind of talked about this in my book. You remember the chapter about...
I didn't read your book.
Whatever. It's called Hopeless Tomantic. And somebody comes over with a very specific
agenda,
if you will. And they're trying to make small talk on my couch. And I'm like, honey, you know why you came over. Let's get to hashtag work. It's
let's get to work?
Yeah. Let's get down to business. Let's like figure it out.
Defeat the Hun.
No, let's figure it out, the Nickelodeon original TV show.
Oh my God, someone comes over for a Grindr hookup and you're like, let's get down to business to defeat the Hunty.
You know what, I'm not going to get into how I accelerate the process. Well, you have to...
how do you accelerate the process?
Well... If I'm on Grindr in the first place, I got an agenda I would like to have unfolding.
Okay.
Quickly.
You got it.
I don't
so
want to.
When they come over, you got the candles lit. The wine is breathing.
No.
Rihanna is playing.
I will
jump by Rihanna.
I don't want to even say the things that I do before I let a Grindr person
Hopefully
in.
Shower.
Oh, yeah. Shower is step one. But I am ready to.
Oh my God. I picture a lot of you like biting your lower lip and like removing your glasses slowly.
No. I don't know. I can't answer this.
Here's my info. All first dates or meetings are usually a little awkward. So, I mean,
both of you if it's a Grindr hookup, you know what both of you want. So like I don't know if you're probably ever going to see this person again.
Date.
So why even beat around some type of bush?
If it's that
unless
kind of,
you want to beat around that bush.
If it's that kind of Grindr date, it's the perfect time to just dive in. I mean, like, don't worry about it being awkward. If y'all are just there to, I wish I knew how to spell.
It's with asterisks around the words clicking noise.
Oh.
So asterisk clicking noise asterisk.
Did he click your noise?
He.
So
what's the follow-up question?
I was like, do you want to know
We didn't
that?
Even answer
know,
that, but what's
God,
the follow-up question?
And I apologize. The follow-up question says, so how do you know if you're a top or bottom if you've never had a sleepover?
Oh, my God. You know, I think that is a path to discovery that takes time.
Here's my experimenting. Here's my rule of thumb.
What's try that rule of thumb, and then you'll know if you're a bottle.
Whoa!
What's your rule of thumb?
I mean,
oh my god, who uses a thumb?
I just.
Oh my god! I just thought about that. What an unused finger for any experience.
Oh my god!
Unless
is that the one you call your unused finger?
Yeah, when I'm looking at my thumb, I think you haven't even seen.
I mean, here's my advice.
All you've seen is the light of day.
If you're trying to figure it out, don't decide before you've tried everything.
Oh, for sure.
Try it both and see what you like.
Yeah, live that dream.
Dive in. Head first, thumb first.
Oh, God. But be safe and be with somebody who respects your journey. Help. Next question.
Respects your journey.
Respects your journey.
I love that. That was actually a really good question.
You know what? Let's approach it because that is a really good question.
Which one?
The one. How do you know if you're a top or a bottom?
My literal only advice is don't rule anything out until you've tried it.
And obviously, whatever, if you want to identify as just one, that's your own decision. But that's like saying, I only eat sugar cookies. Do not give me
oatmeal raisin.
Oatmeal raisin. I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's your life. But
if
like,
an oatmeal raisin cookie makes you very uncomfortable, then that might be your cue.
But how would you know an oatmeal cookie makes you very uncomfortable unless you've tried it?
There's some things that I'm thinking of in my head that make me uncomfortable thinking about that I would never try the boudoir.
I guess don't. I'm talking oatmeal cookies at this point. I love an oatmeal cookie.
I'm sure you do.
If you know what I mean.
You ought to.
But
we're moving on.
Move on.
I think we already took a question from H, but I'm calling this person H2.
Okay.
Oh, H2. H2 wants to know. So there's this guy in my class. He has said many things to me and my friends that make him sound gay. When they asked, he paused for a long time and then denied being gay and said that he wasn't. I don't really know what to do because I really care about him and I want him to be happy. I don't really know if he's gay or if it's just rumors. I don't want to ask, but I do want to be there for him. Any advice would help.
To be there for him is to respect how he self-identifies.
So I agree.
If he is about to say he is straight, that's the end of it. Just because he does stereotypical things or just because he might fall under some type of pattern that you might recognize as, oh, that person's closeted or whatever. If he said outwardly, I'm straight. Bam. That's it. That's done. Respect it.
I mean,
if you're trying to be there for him, respect that self-identification. Do not follow up with, oh, he's straight with an eye roll. If he says he's straight.
Or an air quote. That's not nice either.
Yeah. Fuck off. Sorry. I don't mean to say fuck off, H. But like people that do that, it's like, that's really disrespectful. And that may seem playful or like, oh, like, actually inclusive because you're acting like you will accept him for being whoever he is. Well, accept him for being whoever he is when he says whoever he is. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, and if something changes down the line for him, I mean, again, that's part of his journey. But I mean, I definitely, it's tough because.
And here's the thing. Your identity is not permanent. And I think we've discussed this before, but like, if you think you are straight, and if you identify as straight right now, that doesn't mean you can't come out as bi or gay in an hour.
Yeah.
If you are, your journey, you are not stuck in a box for the rest of your life just because you identify one way right now.
Right. I mean, it shouldn't really be like a witch hunt where you guys are just trying to figure it out just for the sake of like gossip. But I mean, I think if you're really there for him and you want to be there for him, I mean, there's ways to show your support for the LGBTQ+ community without outwardly asking him. And it also kind of sounded like in your email that he was asked in the larger group situation. And I mean, there might have just been people in the group that he wasn't comfortable sharing that with. And I mean, it's very intimidating to tell not only one person, but to kind of tell people in a group. And if it was at school or in a public area, I mean, there's just a lot at play there. I mean, if you really care about him individually and you're a close friend of his, I mean, you might ask when it's just a one-on-one situation. But I mean, you can definitely kind of do things to signal your support for the community as a whole that might make him realize that you're an ally. But it could be exactly like Tyler said. I mean, he might just not be gay just because someone sounds a certain way or has a certain inflection or has a deeper voice or a higher pitch voice. I mean, there's no real sounding gay. I mean, everybody has their own voice. And I think we discussed that in a previous episode as well.
Good question.
This next question is from Jay. Jay says, "Hi, I'm a 16-year-old girl, and I've never kissed anyone or had a boyfriend / girlfriend. I really want to put myself out there, but I'm pretty shy when it comes to dating. I don't really get invited to parties or big social events, and no one has really ever shown interest in me before. A lot of the girls in my grade are really flirtatious and charismatic. They have significant others and are doing much more than kissing. I keep telling myself to wait for the right time, but I'm starting to feel like there must be something wrong with me. Is 16 way too late to have never been kissed?"
Not at all.
I actually really liked this question. It was very well written.
I don't know if there's any age where it's inappropriate that you haven't had a certain
type of affection or like interest.
That's it, your own journey. I think in pop culture, we're told you need to be dating, you need to be having sex, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that, which is fine if you do, but it's also like, okay, you are so much more important to take care of than to fulfill an expectation of what you should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it goes back. I mean, even when we're like, it's just like when you're little and you grow up and people are like, oh, the boys are going to love her or the girls are going to love him. And it's like
to sexualize, yeah, from that early age.
And then you like get into middle school and you go home for the holidays and your grandparents are like, do you have a boyfriend? And everybody puts such pressure on relationships. I mean, it never stops. And then once you get married, everyone's like, when are you having kids or when are you getting married?
I think the normative culture of sexualizing people is harmful.
And it definitely puts a pressure on you.
It's the same type of effect of heteronormative, I guess, heteronormativity? Is that a word?
Sure.
Where people assume that gay people must be straight. It's also kind of the same thing. I don't know what it would be called, but it's like assuming that everyone is sexual. There are people that are aromantic or asexual, and to assume that anybody should be along their journey of, you know, attraction to others or making out with others or whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe all the boys or girls or whoever you're interested in at your school, maybe no one is like causing that spark for you. And maybe they're all a bunch of flops.
Maybe maybe at your school it's like Flopville, USA.
But I mean, it should be.
It is not weird. The answer to your question.
I mean, long story short, it's not weird and it's completely normal. And I had friends in high school who were very much in the same situation as you are. And I mean, yeah, there were people who were there and had boyfriends and girlfriends in sixth grade. I mean, I don't think we were doing anything other than like holding hands because it's been I think it's a big difference now between when I was in high school and nowadays.
Grandpa.
I know I'm a grandpa, but I mean, we did more than hold hands, but whatever.
Whoa.
But no, I mean, I don't think it's way too late. I don't think it's ever too late. It's like a comfortability thing for you.
Right.
And
I think the moment you start to think that you're not fulfilling the expectation of what you should be doing, you lower your standards and you change your standards to fit those who have those expectations on you, and you deserve better than that. If you have a certain level of standard or expectation for people and nobody fits that bill yet, then that's fine and nobody has to. And know that being asexual or aromantic is completely 100% valid, and you do not have to have some type of attraction, sexual or romantic or otherwise or whatever, just because that's what pop culture or your society or your, you know, school has that expectation.
Deems,
or the people the people in your family or whatever, just because they have that expectation doesn't mean you have to fulfill that.
You do you.
You
and
do
don't
you.
Let anyone pressure you otherwise. Save that first kiss for someone special if that's what you
want
to do.
Or don't have a kiss if you don't want to.
Right.
Bam.
Never kiss anybody.
Kiss yourself.
Practice on a stuffed animal.
Oh my God. Do whatever you dream.
Next question. This is from C.
Okay.
I think this is applicable to both of us. C says, my parents recently split up and both moved into new houses. I'm having trouble finding a sense of place, and I'm constantly moving between the two new foreign environments. I no longer have a feeling of security and comfort, and I feel homesick for a place that doesn't exist anymore. Do you guys have any advice on how to find stability?
Oh, that's a tough one. And I feel like I went through that.
We are both, what do they call, children of divorce? CODs?
Broken homes.
No, there was actually a saying, child of divorce. A COD.
We are both that.
We are both children of divorce.
Well, here's the thing. That's a really tough one. And that can feel confusing. And especially like, for me, my family moved a lot. And we were always like, switching apartments and blah, blah, blah. And like that, I never really felt like when I look back at my childhood, where was home? You know what I mean? And yeah. Now that I go home, it's a building that I never lived in.
Yeah.
That's where my parents live now. So I get that. And I validate that it sucks. So to find stability in that, I think it's more important to find stability in the people.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Than in the place.
It's tough. That's exactly what I was going to say, because when my parents got divorced, it was the same thing. It was a lot of going back and forth between houses, and everything is so new and everything's so changed. And it's now that I can look back on it, it's like I kind of had to find home in the relationships with my parents as now as individuals and not as a married couple.
Right.
And as well as in my siblings. And we moved and we changed houses and my dad had to have an apartment and blah, blah, blah. And it was very new and it wasn't fun. And we had to cart stuff back and forth and do two Christmases and everything.
And you have to have, like, when you get gifts at one house, you can't take them to the other house. Like,
only if your parents are dumb like ours.
Parents are fucking dumb. Like, when divorce happens, like, they have these weird rules and I get it. And it's like, as a kid, you're like,
they're like
why?
Reclaiming an independence.
Right. They're trying to figure out what it means to be a parent alone. So it's just as much a journey for you finding that security as it is for them being a single parent.
Yeah.
Or remarrying and, you know, they're figuring things out too. So it's challenging for everyone involved.
I've never known anything different, but I feel like it actually in the long run, like, strengthened my individual relationships mm-hmm. with my parents, because you then go to spending a lot of time with one parent at a time. And I honestly think that made me closer to both of my parents. Again, I have no idea because it was always the norm for me. I mean, my parents got divorced when I was very young, but it definitely took some time, but I really kind of looked to my siblings for support, and like we said, just kind of found home more so in the relationships with people than in the specific places.
And
it's very tough, though.
If you're living in multiple homes because your parents are divorced and you have to like figure out what home means to you, turning a house into a home, make it your own. Ask if you can paint your room. Ask if you can personalize your space so that it feels like it's yours. And explain why it's important to you.
Yeah.
That's a very valid thing. It is 100% okay to tell your parent, hey, I feel like this isn't even my room. Can I personalize it?
Right.
That is a valid thing. And if they don't really get it, that's like, that is frustrating. So I validate your frustration if that is the case.
And we do wish you the best.
We wish you the best.
It's, like I said, as two people who have gone through it, we definitely kind of understand. I'm sure everyone's situation's a little unique to them.
But there are similarities and we empathize and we feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good questions. Thank you so much. If you have questions that you want us to answer in a future advice episode, you can email them to
psychobabblequestions@gmail.com.
If you like this episode, be sure to give it a review.
Yeah, go into iTunes, review it. We love doing these episodes and they go by so quickly because I feel like we get so many good questions from you guys.
Yeah, so give us a review on iTunes. It's super quick. Subscribe while you're there. It's a free podcast that you can subscribe to. You can go back to listen to any episode. We would love it if you do. There's plenty of advice episodes throughout our past. Find them, love them, give them some love. And like I said, review the podcast so that we can go up in the charts. That always helps. So thank you. Corey, where can people find you?
I am online everywhere at Corey Cool, KoreyKuhl.
I am Tyler Oakley, TylerOakley. Thank you for listening. We love you. Hope you have a great New Year's. We'll see you soon.